Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lenten series, Promised Treasures, is building on an age-old custom of using visible objects to reinforce biblical principles. Nowhere could that be demonstrated more fully than in Luther's baptismal liturgy from 1523. It has some of the semblance of the baptismal liturgy that we still use today, though there are many parts that have been eliminated. At the beginning of the liturgy from 1523, the priest blows under the eyes of the child and says, "Depart, thou unclean spirit, and give room to the Holy Spirit." Immediately afterward, he makes the sign of the cross on the forehead and on the breast, much like we still see today. After saying a couple of prayers, the pastor places salt in the child's mouth and says, "Receive the salt of wisdom. May it aid thee to eternal life. Amen. Peace be with thee." Then comes Luther's flood prayer that we still see or still hear sometimes today, followed directly by a lengthy prayer of exorcism, commanding the unclean spirit to come out in the name of the triune God. The priest then reads from the Gospel of St. Mark that the little children should come to Jesus and that no one should hinder them. After laying his hands on the head of the little child and praying the Our Father, the pastor takes a little spit on his finger, touches the child's right ear, and says, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And then does the same for the nose and then the left ear, and says, "But thou, devil, flee, for God's judgment cometh speedily." It is only now that the child is led into the church, where the priest shall say, "The Lord preserveth thy coming in and thy going out, now and forevermore." The child, through his sponsors, then renounces the devil and all of his works and all of his ways, and then affirms the words of the Apostles' Creed. The pastor then anoints the child with oil on his chest and on his shoulders and says, "I anoint thee with the oil of salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord." He asks the child, "Wilt thou be baptized?" which the sponsors answer for him. The priest then baptizes him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The baptismal rite continues with the anointing of the child with oil on the top of his head in the shape of a cross, while the pastor says, "The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath regenerated thee through water and the Holy Ghost, and hath forgiven thee all of thy sin, anoint thee with thy salutary oil to eternal life. Amen." A white christening robe is placed on him, symbolizing the robe that he will wear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he is given a burning candle to hold, while the priest says, "Receive this burning torch and preserve thy baptism blameless, so that when the Lord cometh to the wedding, thou mayest go to meet him, to enter with the saints into the heavenly mansion and receive eternal life." Amen. That concludes Luther's baptismal service, baptismal rite from 1523. Rich in symbolism and the use of visible objects to reinforce promised treasures. If you've ever tasted baby food, and you know you have tasted baby food, it definitely didn't have salt in it. And now the vast majority of us are on the other end of that age spectrum, and salt is our enemy. So it may have surprised you to find salt associated with baptism. Salt, which you may have sprinkled on your hand and tasted as you entered the sanctuary this evening, is often referred to in the Bible as both a sweetening and a preserving agent. Old Testament sacrifices were often salted before being offered. And the prophet Elisha used salt to sweeten bad, undrinkable water for the people of Israel. Later in the Bible, Jesus calls you the salt of the earth, meaning that your life tastes different. It tastes like a different drink of water than others. There's something unique, joyful, wholesome even, in the way that you speak, live, and act. As St. Paul says in his epistle, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. From Colossians 4, verse 6. As we just experienced, many of the baptismal rites of the early church included tasting just a tiny bit of salt. Adults who were baptized as converts after the day they renounced the devil and all his works and all his ways and confessed the Apostles' Creed were given salt before they were baptized. This is one of the reasons that Luther included the use of salt in his earliest writings on baptismal rites. Salt was a visible and a tangible way of reminding the baptized that their lives were now different and distinct from the rest of the world. Salt, according to Scripture, seasons and sweetens, yet it also preserves and it keeps. Salt was such a precious commodity in the lives of the ancient peoples that they kept it everywhere in their houses. In fact, the root word of salary comes from the Latin word salarium. History records that soldiers were paid in salt, which they used to preserve meat and food, and it helped their families before modern refrigerators and freezers were invented. The prophet Elijah was told that the water in Jericho was so bad and undrinkable that something had to be done. It may have tasted like really bad well water, full of iron and minerals. So Elisha asked for a bowl and placed some salt in it. Then he threw that salt into the spring, sweetening and refreshing all the water for the people to continue to use and for them to drink. God healed that dreadful water with salt. Perhaps that gives some foundation to what Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how is its saltiness to be restored? From Matthew chapter 5. So how does all this talk of salt transfer to us today? We have refrigerators. We have freezers. So salt isn't used the same way today as it was in biblical times. Or is it? What kind of pain or suffering are you enduring right now? Is there anything sour or troubling or unfruitful in your life? What about your personal health? What about your relationships with other people? Is your employment situation at least a little bit stressful? Amid life's sour and bitter experiences, Jesus comes to us. He comes to us to sweeten them, to enliven them, to refresh them through his healing word. You are God's dear children, baptized, washed, salted in Christ. This Lenten theme reminds us that Jesus died on Calvary's cross to preserve us completely from sin and eternal death. God is not distant, but promises to deliver you from all of your troubles and to heal those things that are most broken in this life. The psalmist reminds us that the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, from Psalm chapter 34. Jesus comes to preserve us and to keep us. The ancient people of God often used salt to preserve meat and other food so that it would last longer. And even the priest offered grain offerings and burnt offerings with salt. This preservation and keeping took place when God saved you. Yes, Jesus died as the sacrifice on the cross to preserve us and save us from our diseased life. As our great high priest, he was salted and offered up for us. And now that we are baptized into him, death has no power over us. And even though this temporal life will end, because we will get sick, we will die, our hope is not in this life. Since Jesus rose from the dead on Easter, our weak mortal body is promised to be raised a pure, eternal, glorified body. This means that we are really living a life that is truly preserved forever. This present or temporal death is not eternal death. And that news sweetens life now because we have a renewed joy and a renewed purpose. And sadly, many people still live hopelessly today with little comfort when somebody dies. Therefore, Jesus warns us about losing saltiness. But the salt doesn't originate within us. God gives that salt to us, just as Elisha placed salt in that water to sweeten the spring for drinking. When a Christian dies, he or she is promised to be with the Lord forever. And because of that, we read words of comfort. We dwell on God's promise of life in Christ. We sing hymns of joy. And that is why St. Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Colossians 3, verse 16. Your saltiness makes you hopeful, joyful, and appealing to anyone who sees or knows you. Christ's word is the source of our sweetening, the source of our seasoning in this life. Friends loved by God, Jesus Christ is with you now, sweetening and preserving all of your life and those around you. He promises you a preservation from eternal death and keeps you now and for eternity. The only way salt is depleted or lost is when we fail to hear God's word or receive his sacraments. And even though life is daily torn by sin, broken relationships, faltering health, Jesus promises to preserve us and keeps us and works all things for our good. He will sweeten all things with renewed hope and renewed purpose. By his resurrection from the dead, you are now sweetening salt. You are wholesome salt. You are preserving salt to the whole rest of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.